Hey, everybody, and welcome to the inaugural episode of the Roost Podcast, which is the name we are going with for now. I am Carter Spires. I am your co-host here with Matthew Bartlett, owner and proprietor of AtTheRoost.com, your premier source for Rice news and analysis. This is a new, hopefully weekly podcast that we're starting up that we'll go week by week through the preseason, giving a, you know, talking about the off season and fall practice and previewing the season to come. And then once the season gets started, we'll be doing episodes kind of previewing the next opponent and reviewing the previous game. And so we're excited to get this out here and share it with y'all. And yeah.
Yeah, and thanks in advance for you guys listening. We launched the Roost last fall and had a great reception. And one of the things that y'all hinted on was wanted a podcast to kind of have some audio flavor and breaking down the latest Rice news. So we're here for that. This could be fun for Carter. He's got an excellent football brain and knows Rice very, very well. So we're excited to get rolling, and it should be a fun year. At least follow on and subscribe with us, and we'll get everything that we can about Rice football.
All right. And do we have you want to plug that excellent season preview magazine you put together for
Yeah, absolutely. And I know that football content can be hard to come by once we get through the long off season. We just had media days, but we've launched last month our 2019 Rice football season preview. You can go ahead and find that at attheroost.com/shop. And it's 143 pages. It has everything that you could possibly want to know about the Owls this year. We have a projected depth chart breakdown. We have a deep dive on the schedule. We got with beat reporters and local guys from every team that Rice is going to play this year and the Conference USA opponents, and just kind of got their thoughts on, you know, not the things that the coaches are going to say and you're going to read somewhere else, but the guys who are on the ground and what do their teams look like this year. And then we got every single player on the team written up in detail, what to expect from them this year, what their spring looked like. So to my knowledge, it's the most thorough write-up of Rice football, at least this team, that is out there on the internet. So selling it right now for $12.99. You can go find that at attheroost.com/shop. So go ahead and pick up a copy. And I know Carter's already gotten his hands on it, and from what I've heard, it's been well received.
Yeah, no, you will definitely not find this level of sort of analysis and breakdowns and really going, you know, position by position, even player by player, to, you know, from the guys that have been starters and have been on the team for a long time to every member of the incoming recruiting class. I was really impressed with the depth of content, and there's just not anywhere else for Rice that you're going to get something as detailed of a breakdown as this. So I would definitely recommend everybody check it out.
And as a bonus on that, we had some news come out from the program on Friday afternoon that wide receiver Aaron Cephas has been suspended indefinitely from the football team. That came out Friday afternoon, and then his name was pulled off the online roster. So as a special update, we've gone ahead and updated the preview. We have some notes on what guys we kind of expect to take the lead forward with that and how the wide receiver core is going to be shuffled up. So you will have insight from the very beginning of what this new look offense is going to look like. So I know in the weeks that follows, we're going to follow a fall camp and kind of work through all the different positions and players and how they're developing as we get closer to the season. So we'll hit wide receivers next week. Spoiler, stay tuned, and kind of work through that. But we'll actually have some coverage on what other names, you know, freshman Zane Knipe, August Pete will be in the mix, Jake Bailey, D'Angelo Ellis, lots of names to know, and guys that played some smaller roles last year that could be much more heavily involved now that Aaron, at least for the time being, does not look like he's going to be with the team this year.
Yep, we will definitely have that covered more in detail. It's going to be interesting to see because they've got, you know, just to give a little preview of this discussion, but, you know, they've got a lot of guys who can fill that kind of smaller, quicker slot receiver, those kinds of roles. But you know, they were definitely counting on Cephas and Brad Rosner to give them the size outside. And, you know, Brad's still with the team, but that they definitely don't have another receiver on the roster. I don't think that had that can also give that size speed combination that Aaron had. So it'll be interesting to see where they make up that production. But moving forward, we're just going to, I think, take the majority of this episode to talk about kind of the schedule as a whole and give kind of expectations for how that's going to go and maybe sort of an outlook on the season as a whole in terms of, you know, goals and expectations and that sort of thing. So the schedule itself is so the good news is that there are a lot of really exciting games, and a lot of them are in Houston. I don't remember. It has been a while. I would have to go back and check. But Rice has 7 home games this year, which is not, you know, for a CUSA program, usually you're gonna get your 4 home games in conference, and then, you know, you're gonna look to get those games where somebody's gonna pay you a whole lot of money to come play at their stadium. So you're usually gonna have at least 2 of those in your non-conference that are gonna get you to know more than 6 home games. But Rice this year actually has 7. 6 of them at Rice Stadium and 1 at NRG against Texas. So, yeah, the good news is that Rice plays 3 Power 5 teams at home. That's Wake Forest, the aforementioned Texas Longhorns, and the Baylor Bears, and then gets 4 top-tier CUSA teams all at home. The bad news is that, you know, they get 3 top-tier Power 5 teams, 3 solid to great Power 5 teams at home, and then 4 very, very tough conference games at home. And then they also play, an 11-win Army team from last year to start the season in West Point. So the good news is that there are going to be lots of fun and exciting games. The bad news is that it's hard to look through this schedule and see a lot of sure wins.
Yeah, and I think that's part of, and we'll talk about this, I'm sure, throughout the season, that it's kind of, we're in year 2 after year 0 of a rebuild. Mike Bloomgren is taking over and starting from scratch and putting in a new offense, new defense, all that stuff. So wins are ultimately what any football program is going to be measured against. And Rice is going to get there. But like you mentioned, it's going to be a tough road, and there's going to be a lot of teams that are going to test them and make them work for those wins. And, you know, hopefully by the end of the season, once we get to October, November, and they're not, you know, having to welcome, you know, teams that beat Georgia in the Sugar Bowl to home, and they'll be able to take on some teams, you know, like the MTSUs, the North Texas, even UTSA away from home. There'll be some games that Rice should be battle-tested for, and that's going to be a good thing out of this schedule.
Yeah. I think it's good to, you know, when you have a non-conference schedule as tough as that one, you know, Rice starts out the season with those 4 games. It's Army on August 30th, and then that's actually 2. Rice starts out with 2 Friday night games. So both of those are going to be televised on CBS Sportsnet. So, you know, you get some nice exposure there when there's not a lot competing against you on the schedule. But you start the season with those 4 games, and those are going to be 4 really tough games. But then you go on from there, and, you know, that's your toughest competition to start the season. And so, you know, every game from there on out, you know, they close with 8 straight conference games. You're going to have played those teams. You know, nobody else in CUSA is putting out the kind of athletes that Texas is, for instance. So you've played those teams. You've gotten used to that level of competition, and now you're coming into conference feeling like, especially if they can just build some solid momentum in those games, just give a performance that you can really feel good about in terms of execution and discipline, and, you know, make one of those teams sweat if you can. Like, if you go in there and those teams come out of those games unsatisfied and you feel good about your performance, that gives you a lot of confidence going into a conference schedule that is not an easy one, but certainly features some opportunities for Rice to pick up some wins.
Yeah, and I think so. And a lot of the problems that we saw on offense and defense from last year from this football team, yes, there's a talent gap between Rice and programs like Texas. Nobody's going to dismiss that, but there was a lot of issues of just making sure the team was well aware enough to execute and to do what they needed to do and play their game and not make those mental mistakes. And that was kind of a growing process we saw last year. And so at the point where you're at the point early in the season, if Rice cannot beat themselves and they can play smart fundamental football with those freshmen and sophomores that played a lot last year, being now getting their second season of college football action and not getting their first action ever on the road at Mishy Stadium against Army, not to have that shell shock moment will serve them better. And then I think what we saw at the end of last season is it took, you know, several weeks before guys like on defense, Antonio Montero and Blaze Aldridge and Tyre Thornton in the secondary, that they started getting more involved and starting by the end of the season. I think that's what you'll see some this year. Have now the younger, more experienced guys will get to go and take their lumps and battle through these tough non-conference opponents to start the gate. And then once the freshmen have kind of wrapped their ears, their heads around, you know, the complexities of this scheme, then they'll be able to filter in for the conference schedule when, you know, it becomes a bit more imperative that those learning tests turn into games that are winnable in the fourth quarter. And that's really what this team is going to have to adjust to this season.
Yeah. And, you know, there's plenty of, like, even with these top teams that Rice is facing in CUSA, like, you know, last year, as young and inexperienced as they were, I mean, Southern Miss 40-22 last year, Louisiana Tech 28-13. You know, they play those teams at home, and it's not like they, you know, they were playing those teams on the road last year, and it's not like it was 35-0 or 42-0 or stuff like that. So now that this year you have a team that has that experience, that's comfortable in the system, that knows what they're doing, you know, you get those teams at home and maybe you're still not favored against them. You know, we don't know how the spreads are going to look like in those games now, but you're going to get those games at home and you're going to have a team that's much more confident in what it's doing than it was last year. You know, maybe you're not favored in those games, but you've got a shot. And so I think this schedule is hard. Like, I don't want to pull any punches about that. Like, it's really, really tough, and, you know, my expectation personally as a fan and someone who is invested in the success of this team is that, you know, there are just going to be some tough stretches on this schedule where it's, you know, the results aren't going to be what you want them to be. But it's – I don't want to go in and say, like, oh, just write this season off. They're not ready yet. They're going to wait for next year, because there really are going to be some opportunities – and if, you know, they're a little ahead of the curve to where we kind of expect they might be, like, you know, some guys emerge and stuff like that, you know, there are some opportunities here. So I want to emphasize that the schedule was hard, but not come out here and say, like, you know, don't have any expectations, because I think the team itself certainly has expectations.
Yeah, and they should, especially because of how they finished. The Old Dominion game at the end of last season was really, I mean, Coach Bloomgren talks about it all the time, taking a team to deep water and finishing them. That was really the first time that they'd been able to get to the third quarter, be in a one-score game, and then Jumo Taviano turned on the Jets and put the game away. And, you know, you look at the UAB game at home last year was really the only game where Rice didn't show up, and it wasn't a chance that they even were in it from the start. I mean, you look at the Houston game leading the fourth quarter, the Hawaii game, that was a close one. FIU, North Texas, those teams that were at the top of the divisions, those were winnable games that, you know, Rice was starting at FIU and North Texas, quarterbacks that had never started a college football game before. And you're not going to have that problem this year. So I think that in itself, the team just being more experienced doesn't need to move heaven and earth to be able to be competitive and win some of those games that they were in last year. I mean, you can – people get, I guess, content looking at Rice's record and saying, oh, one win, two win. They might not be very, very good. But the end of the day, you know, you give Rice a much more favorable bounce in one game or another, or – one mistake is not made, or this guy makes that pass or makes that tackle, and you're looking at, what, a 3 or 4 win team last year. And I think that's in, you know, the odds makers through Vegas, whoever you look up, they're saying 2.5-3 wins is what's been floated around for Rice, which I think is kind of going contrary to what, you know, the general public might perceive of this program. But I think it's because they realize that there's been a lot more talent and focus infused in this program than, you know, maybe other people might see. And I think we're going to see that come to fruition. This team should be more competitive. And I think the schedule is going to force them to take a real look and, you know, play that underdog card of nobody believes in us and who can we go up and surprise.
Yeah, and I think and one of the things I think that you've mentioned a lot in covering the team this offseason is that the staff is really happy that now they're going into a season where they don't have to rely on true freshmen at you know a dozen different positions across the field. They're still going to be really young. I mean, you're still looking at a probable redshirt. You know, I've said this before. I don't think any coach in the country used the 4-game redshirt rule as well as Coach Blomgren and his staff did. But you're looking at, you know, redshirt freshman left tackle who got the experience last year. You're looking at redshirt freshman probable quarterback starter who got the experience last year. You're looking at redshirt freshmen in playing corner and that have gotten – and true sophomores playing linebacker and safety and roles like that. So they've turned over the roster so completely. It's something like 2/3 of the players on this team have been recruited by this staff, and they're only going into year two. Which is a pretty incredible level of roster turnover in that amount of time. And yet, despite that, they're not going to have to rely on guys who are just coming into the college game and who don't have a lot of experience and are still kind of absorbing the system. They're going to be a couple of those guys. Like we said, they're going to be some guys who have opportunities at wide receiver. I think they're probably going to need some contribution from freshmen at defensive tackle. But it's going to be much more of a situation outside of one or two positions where if there are true freshmen playing, it's because they've earned it and not because, you know, they just don't have a guy and they desperately need a guy to play that role. It's going to be a situation where you're really playing the guys who give you the best chance to win. And the good outlook going even further is that a lot of those guys are still really young.
Yeah, and a lot of those guys have made tremendous progress just over the end of last year and this spring. I think you mentioned at starting quarterback, that is still, you know, an open competition. And Tom Stewart has transferred in from Harvard, and he's going to get a shot. But Wiley Green, who played a little bit last year, took advantage of that redshirt rule. He was one of the biggest winners of the spring. His command of the offense and his understanding of where he's supposed to be, where the ball is supposed to be, and what reads he's supposed to make, that's grown tremendously. He is getting better at understanding what the defense is giving him and making those throws and not having to do too much to force it. And that came this spring when, you know, honestly, the defense was showing out and having a great set of practices. So you've seen, I mean, it's the spring, you're going into the fall, and, you know, everybody's bigger, faster, and stronger, and everybody feels great, and it's the best they've ever been. And you hear all the coach speak and the things that the program has to say. But, you know, at this point, that this is exactly where this program is supposed to be, and they're checking all the right boxes to be competitive and to win those games. And, you know, I think we can be optimistic, especially with the talent that's coming in the door and the guys who are going to be asked to be in those positions are capable. And that's a good thing for Rice. Let's see. I just want to hit a couple more looking at the schedule whole. We talked through out of the gate. We had Army, Wake Forest, Texas, Baylor, and Louisiana Tech. Army's on the road, but the next four games, all at home, all evening games, and the end of the summer, so that will be nice. It won't be a billion degrees. Yeah. Then we got UAB, and that's the first road game. That'll be at Legion Field, and then we have a bye week. And the schedule this year is a bit funny. Has two off weeks with where Labor Day falls, and then we'll get UTSA on the road, Southern Miss, and Marshall at home. and then we'll have one more bye week. Then we'll go on the road for Middle Tennessee, at home for North Texas, and away at UTEP. So, you know, in many ways, I think that last game against UTEP will kind of be a measuring stick for both programs after, you know, being at the bottom of Conference USA last year and having a whole season. Coach Dimmel and Blomgren were both very complimentary of where both programs were at media days and saying the right things. And this will be an interesting culmination of, you know, whose rebuild is working now that, you know, we've had more than, you know, half a season, a full season to really start assembling the pieces.
And, you know, I think the schedule sets up nice in terms of, you know, like you said, it's away at Army to start the season. Then you get four straight home games. You get one away game. And then you get a bye week, two home games in 3 weeks, and then a bye week and one home game in 3 weeks. So there's not any, you know, stretches where you're playing eight straight games without a bye. There's not any five straight road games or you know, home once over the course of 5 or 6 weeks. So in that sense, it kind of sets up advantageously. There's not any, aside from, you know, the fact that you're starting out with this pretty brutal stretch of strong teams, you at least get three of those at home. So it sets up pretty nicely in terms of not just by dint of the, you know, where the bye weeks are or what's home and away, that you don't have any kind of grueling stretches like that. So that ends up nice. You mentioned media days. Were there any, you know, what were your kind of takeaways from that? What any kind of choice quotes that you got from the guys that were there, or you think that any really interesting nuggets that people may not have seen?
So I think it was notable that I think there were six different teams who got at least one first place vote, just going into the season, which kind of spoke to that there's some favorites, but there's not really any one team on either side of Conference USA that right now has the general consensus that they're supposed to run away with it this year, that there's not going to be anybody on the schedule that appears to be that unbeatable, or the rest of the conference at least thinks is head and shoulders above everybody else. Mm-hmm. So I thought that at least was encouraging. And then I had a quote from Louisiana Tech head coach Skip Holtz that I wanted to read. I thought was interesting. He said, "This conference is a lot like NASCAR. Everybody has the same engine. It's just who does the best job of driving it that week."
Oh, I like that.
And so I get a kick on that, but I think it's really true, because you're not talking about programs that are bringing in, you know, blue chip players at every position, maybe one or two here and there.
Right.
But it really is going to be just who plays better, who coaches better on that day, which is why I think it's exciting to be where Rice is, because they are at in the conference at a point where if you have the right coach, and I'm going to say I believe that we do, can go out and turn those close losses into wins. I think that was an encouraging takeaway for one. And that was generally the consensus of coaches around the conference as a whole. There's not really anybody that jumps out as, you know, the clear favorite to win this thing.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay, any more thoughts on the schedule?
I can't wait for it to get started. We are closing in on, I guess, 1 month away. Some scheduling notes. We'll have August 1st will be the first day of fall practices, and that is coming out this week. And then we'll get into a couple practices, and we'll be out there. And make sure y'all stay tuned on the site. We'll be putting some updates there, and we'll be dropping things on the podcast, kind of some takeaways, especially at, you know, mentioned wide receiver, quarterback, offensive line, some of those position groups that there are going to be some questions about. We'll be giving updates here on the podcast and on the site, so make sure you stay tuned for those. And I think those are big notes, unless you had anything else.
No, I think we can wrap up. The last thing I had thought was, what's something you're watching for the totality of the season, you know, whether it's a position group or looking at a performance in a particular game or a certain stretch of games? You know, what's a broad view, like, thing to watch for the season?
I think my broad thing is to be counting fourth quarter results. I know that kind of seems nebulous, but I want to see the games that Rice gets to the fourth quarter, and it's a one or two touchdown game. It's a game that could go either way. How do those go? Because I'm not too concerned if they have a bad day or they get overmatched and it's out of hand by the fourth quarter and they don't win. I want to see, you know, last year it was Old Dominion and Prairie View that they were able to flip the switch and find ways to win. I want to see if can we go from finding, you know, two ways to win against opponents that were beatable. Rice has beatable teams. Can they take that, find two ways to finish strong and make it three or four? It doesn't have to be a win, but I need to see that this team has the fight and has the effort that is at the point where they don't look shell-shocked. Because I think that's the best word that I could use to describe, you know, some of the points when we got to the third or fourth quarter last season. It looked like the team was just, you know, kind of caught off guard that the other team was willing to go to the end and push and finish. And I think they've brought in the athletes that can do it. So the finish factor is kind of what I'm looking to see from this team this year.
Cool. And then I would say mine, in terms of, so I'm a bit more, I'm a big X's and O's kind of scheme focused guy. So I really enjoy kind of the breakdown of plays and positions and stuff like that. So my thing to watch this year is the play of the cornerbacks specifically. Which may not jump out at people, but, you know, Coach Smith's defense, he comes from that Don Brown system at Michigan, which is a system that relies a lot on the corners to basically man up and pay one-on-one coverage on the outside, and that allows them to do a lot of different exotic things and really bring a lot against the run and bring a lot of pressure. And they weren't really able to do that last year, to be honest. The corners, you know, whether it was some veterans or whether it was some young guys that kind of got thrown into the fire, had a tough time last season, and they couldn't really rely on that to really work those aspects of the system. So my thing will be, if the corners can play up to that level and give them kind of keep things in front of them, then that unlocks just a whole different level for this defense. It lets them play so much more aggressively on the front, and it's, you know, you're not facing these quick drives where teams, you know, are scoring rapidly, and that, you know, puts a really a system that really wants to run the ball for in Rice's offense, puts you in some kind of tough situations where if you get down, you know, you can't, you know, you have a tough time running the ball as much as you want to if you're, you know, down 21 or 28 points or something like that. So that my thing to watch for this season is how well are the corners ready to play in that system? Are the corners ready to give them a level that's going to allow them to play as aggressively with the rest of the defense as they want to?
Yeah, especially because given the quality of quarterback that Rice has playing against them on the schedule this year, you know, across the board from you know, starting off with Sam Ehlinger at Texas, and you got Jamar Smith, and
all four of those out of conference teams they played to start the season bring back the quarterback from last season. In Wake Forest's case, multiple quarterbacks, and then you play UNT at the end of the season, who gets back Mason Fine, who's probably the best quarterback in the conference. So they're gonna face some dudes in terms of opposing passers this season.
Yeah, and absolutely, it's gonna be. You know, you really can almost break it down, you know, we will get there unit by unit of you need to see concrete improvement, especially from the corners. And if they can make that step, then the defense is better, gets whole, and games start getting closer. And, you know, you start making that progress that you want to see.
All right. Well, I think that about covers everything we wanted to do for this first episode. You got anything else for us?
I think that's out. Just make sure that you, you know, give us a follow. You can find us all our social medias at The Roost, Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, you name it. I'm sure we'll be coming up with something else soon. And then make sure you pick up a copy of that season preview, like Carter mentioned at the top. I really do think it's worth it, and it's going to give you some insight And we talked through kind of a high level on the schedule and those teams, worked with the beat writers and people who cover the program. You'll get more insight than you could ever want to know about Marshall or UTEP than you could think of. So that'll be good. So just want to say thanks for giving us a listen, and hope y'all liked it. And we will be back for more, start covering the offense and all the fall happening. So should be a fun time. I'm excited for the season ahead. It's going to be challenging, but I think we're going to learn a lot.
Yeah, same. We'll see y'all next week, and Rice fight.
This show was edited and produced by Carter Spires. It features music from Joseph McDade.